It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
He brightens up my day. That's Dermot, age 6. Good afternoon on this Tuesday afternoon. How are you? How was your long weekend? Did you get a bit of sun? 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. So now we know what's going to happen. We know what the plan is if we behave ourselves. How the next few months are going to pan out. And it looks like July 20th is a big date, because that's the date we can leave our regions. Now, today it's 5 kilometres and then it's going to be 20 kilometres. And then on July 20th, we can leave our regions. I don't know what a region is. Is that your province, or is that your county, or what is it? It means that people can go on holidays. Is that it? Within Ireland? Yeah. Hey, something to look forward to. We can go on holidays in Ireland. And what's that going to look like? Isn't that what they all say now? What's that going to look like? So on that date, are people going to... Is it going to look like one of those, you know, those movies where everybody has to leave an American city and there's just gridlock? People with everything in the kitchen sink on top of the car. 2 dogs, 5 children, all heading to West Cork or County Clare or Galway, up to Donegal or down to Waterford, down to Wexford, up to Carlingford. And what's going to happen with all those empty hotel rooms that have been sold to Americans who now can't travel here? Are we going to get deals? What's going to happen with them? Because a lot of the hotels around Ireland depend on American tourists and tourists from other parts of the world, but mainly American tourists, to fill their beds during high season. They won't be coming this year. So are they going to offer us deals? I do feel very sorry for people in the hospitality industry. I heard a man on Sean O'Rourke today, and he as much as said, we're forgetting about 2020. Like, it's not going to exist. But we aren't going to be leaving the country. So there are going to be more staycations than ever before. There'll be more there'll be the most staycations in any year since 1970. Remember, before we knew about the package holiday, before we could go to Lanzarote or Spain or Villamora or all of those places where we used to... We went on a day trip to Bray once. That was big news in our family. Hired a minibus from Louis Hennessy and all 9 of us into the back of it, off to Bray, the ghost train. I don't think we even saw the beach. We were just there in the amusements and back home then to Kildare. Maybe stopped for a bag of chips on the way back. Anyways, what I'm saying is the whole holiday thing has been turned upside down. So I'm wondering what you're planning. And while we're talking about holidays, Conor Pope will be in today. If you have any questions, because this is an ever-changing story, because at the beginning of this, if you've asked Conor Pope, can I get my money back if my flight's cancelled, the answer would have been a definitive yes. However, governments all over Europe and indeed the European Union are changing their mind and they're fudging on this one because they don't want to see the whole aviation industry wiped out. So now they're saying that maybe you should accept a voucher and not cash. And then Ryanair is saying, well, take a voucher and then after 12 months, if you don't use it, you can take the cash. But what if people want to use the cash to go on holidays now? Because a lot of people are strapped for the aforementioned cash. So anyway, Connor's coming in. If you have any questions for him about getting your money back, vouchers, all that sort of thing, get them into us, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. And still in the hospitality industry, the pubs are desperately trying to open again. So they've laid out sort of a new world order and they're meeting up with government officials and I think Simon Harris and maybe Leo Varadkar to try and insist that they should reopen on June 29th instead of August 10th. So you would have read them today. They're suggesting that the new measures would be no sitting, standing, ordering, paying or drinking at the bar. Customers will be seated at tables at all times with table service provided. No more than 4 people per every 10 square metres. A maximum of 6 people allowed at one table. No more than 4 people per every 10 square metres. And a maximum of 6 people allowed at one table. But sure, that doesn't make sense to me. Anyway, hand sanitizer used before entry. Staff washing hands every half hour. Outdoor spaces must enhance social distancing. No live music or DJ. And the safe use of toilets which may include limits on the number of customers using them at one time. And zero crack. Sorry, no, that's not there. It's very difficult. I don't know what's going to happen, but that doesn't sound like much crack. And the other thing is, that's laid out there in the cold light of day in black and white on a piece of paper. But when you add to that a couple of pints or a few pints, and then your man going, Mick, what's 10 square metres? I'll show you what 10 square metres is. Now, there's definitely more than four people in that 10 square metres. They're going to have to move out of there. They're definitely have to move out of there. And then it's hassle. It's hassle. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is. Anyway, that's we'll find out about that over the coming weeks as well. See how the vintners get on with the government. And because they're saying if the restaurants can open on the 29th and they're selling alcohol, why can't we open on the same date? Which seems like a valid question. 10 square metres is a big enough space for four people in it. I mapped it out up in the office. It's a big space. That's that. And social distancing, and we all know now it's 6 feet or 2 metres. In fact, 2 metres is more than 6 feet. But in Yukon, which is a territory in Canada, they reckon that the locals may not have known what 6 feet, 2 metres was. You know, could you show me a metre? So they have a campaign which is encouraging people to stay one caribou length apart. I'll try and say that again. One caribou's length apart. So a caribou is a reindeer, big deer. And seemingly your average caribou is about 6 feet long or 2 metres long. So they're saying that. And then if you don't know what a caribou length is, two husky dog lengths, that's what they're saying. This is a poster campaign in the Yukon Territory in Canada. Or 8 loaves of sourdough bread. So what comes back to the sourdough bread? I didn't know this, but sourdough bread was included to reflect its deep historical ties to the Yukon region of Canada. Early miners and their families fiercely protected sourdough starters. You see? You thought I was going a bit crazy. And anyone who survived a winter north of the Arctic Circle became known as a sourdough. So there you go. Sourdough. So you'd stay four sourdoughs apart. I haven't seen my sourdoughs, about 16 sourdoughs apart. Anyway, normal people. Loads of chat about that over the weekend, and more people are watching it on the player and looking forward to episodes 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. And it's broken all sorts of records on the BBC. Has normal people. So that's great news for Lenny Abramson, Paul Mescal, Daisy and everybody involved, and Sally Rooney. Connell's chain, right? That's the chain worn by Paul Mescal, playing the part of Connell in Normal People, has now got 17,000 followers on Instagram. I kid you not. They're talking about in The Guardian today, hot, sexy, lust-inducing. And they're not talking about Paul Mescal. They're talking about his chain. Seemingly, it's been described as Argos chic. It's the only thing he keeps on in the numerous sex scenes in the series, and the camera lingers on it lovingly. So, I don't know. You might inform me. It says something about him. It sort of says something about his enigmatic, complex personality. That he's one of the lads, and yet he's not one of the lads. He's masculine and yet he's soft and sensual. And this particular piece of jewellery says of all of that. And you can buy them, seemingly, if you're looking for one. Revere Sterling Silver Fine Curb 24-inch chain. It'll cost you $14.99, that's sterling, in Argos. So there you go. Connell's chain. 17,000 followers on Instagram. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. They're still talking about birdsong as well, and a taxi driver sent us on a recording he did. He didn't leave his name. He did this at 5 o'clock this morning. And Marjorie Moore has been on from Kildare. How are you doing, Marjorie? She says, I'm in total agreement and enjoying all the chat about the birds singing during lockdown, but I have one complaint. Every day when I go out into my back garden, those terrible crows building their nests at the bottom of my garden, which, as you know, I live just up at the Japanese gardens, you know, Marjorie, from of old. Anyway, she's given out about the crows and she says, will you please hurry up, crows, and build your nests and Begomages. That's lovely, isn't it, from that taxi driver? Thank you very much. Will you please play a request for Dr. Martin McMullen on his birthday today? Martin had to retire from his GP practice in Belfast approximately 8 years ago. He's today finishing a virtual 120-kilometre Camino walk from his garage to his front gate, which he started on Thursday last. There's loads of brilliant initiatives, fundraising initiatives going on around the country. And Martin has raised 21,000 sterling so far for Trokra. We're all immensely proud of Martin's efforts to raise the much-needed funds for Trokra. So well done, Martin. Sean O'Rourke had a hotelier on last week. He said we would have to wear a mask, get our breakfast delivered to our room and bar, and common areas of hotel will be cordoned off to guests. Doesn't sound much like a holiday to me, says that person. And how will pubs manage corridors and toilets? Well, they're saying there's going to be somebody, you know, who's standing, a security guard of some description, and only a certain number of people will be allowed into the loo. Now, I've been, you know, a lot of pubs, it's a bottleneck going into the loo. I don't know how they're going to do that. Watch Normal People on RT1 on Saturday night after hearing all the radio thumbs up over the last week about it. All I can say is, wow, can't wait for episode 3 tonight. Oh, it's on tonight already. That was a quick week. That's Martina there. 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. Good Mac. And Don't Stop from that brilliant album, Rumours. 5 on 5, 5 on Ray at RTE.ie. Loads of questions coming in for Conor Pope. There's a sample of one of them. Ger from Cork says, Ticketmaster says Diana Ross Cork gig is postponed and won't refund because they say it's not technically cancelled. They have my cash since Christmas and I want it back. As God knows what's going to happen to that gig. Ta, Ger in Cork. It's difficult, isn't it? And on Normal People and the chain around Paul Mescal's neck, it's the original chain some of us are looking for. Oh, really? I think Connell gave it to co-actress Daisy. Well, his name is Paul. The character's name is Connell. Confusing. Could you play a happy birthday request for Margaret Kavanagh from Dunboyne in County Meath? Have a lovely day from Edward, Caroline and family, Joseph, Martina and family, and Mary and Patrick in Remelton in County Donegal. Missing you loads. See you soon for cake and crack. That's a lovely. They have a tradition in Germany, cafe and cooking. It's an afternoon thing. They have coffee and cake. I've never heard of cake and crack. That's a nice one. Cake. How about coming over for some cake and crack? I was thinking there during that song that there would be people holidaying in Ireland that probably haven't holidayed in Ireland for a long time. People who traditionally just head off to sunnier climes because they want guaranteed sun. And now because of what's happening, they'll be forced to holiday here. And I'm thinking that they will be pleasantly surprised by what they will encounter in this fair little isle of ours, because we have an awful lot to offer. Where would you recommend now to people? That, like, there's the coast, obviously. And I often think, and it's probably true, that the Midlands get ignored. But we've done 2 years now in the hidden hinterlands of Ireland, and that's right up the Shannon there. We've been to lovely places, from Banagher to Drumminear. I'm trying to think of all the places we were. Gary Kennedy, Drumshambo, all the places along the Shannon, all lovely. And you're on the water and you can do all those things like kayaking and paddle boarding. There was a great picture of our man, wasn't there, on the front of the Irish Times over the weekend. Was it yesterday? Owen and Ted. Remember, we had Owen on, and Owen paddleboards up the Grand Canal, or up the one of the canals anyway, with his dog Ted. And he was spotted by a photographer and they took a picture and it appeared on the cover of the Irish Times yesterday. Anyway, holidaying in Ireland, where would you recommend? I've had loads of favourite places over the years, moved around. West Cork, like, I remember being down there with the Den, and even before that, encountering Inchidonny and Clonakilty and falling in love immediately and holiday down there for a long time. And Bear Peninsula, Castletown Bear, that's a lovely spot as well. You can get the boat over to Bear Island. And then Kerry, I love, like, Tralee, around Tralee, out to Ballyheigh and Bannastrand and all of those places. Loads to offer there. And then Waterford, discovered Waterford recently as well. Dunmurry's, Tramore, the Gold Coast. No, it's not the Gold Coast, it's the Copper Coast, isn't it? The Copper Coast down there in Waterford. And then up around the northeast there, Carlingford, all there, and then up into the north of Ireland and the coast of Antrim. I remember driving up there years ago, going up to Cushion Dun or Cushion Dall or one of those places, and there's a big sign at the side of the road: you are now entering an area of outstanding beauty. Just in case you were wondering, they should have more signs like that around the country. You are now entering an area of outstanding beauty. Behave! And all there's loads, there's so much we have to offer here. So if you have any suggestions for people who are holidaying in Ireland for the first time and they're thinking, oh no, I can't go to Spain, what am I going to do? Well, from July 20th, you will be free to travel outside your region, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm not going on a holiday, I'm just travelling outside my region. Thank you very much. So any suggestions there, 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. We'll take a quick commercial break.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
That's funny. Great beach in Nurney. Unless there's another coastal Nurney that I don't know about. The only Nurney I know of is about 5 miles from Kildare Town. And there ain't no beach in Nurney. There's a ball alley, but no beach. Dunmore East, the only place, somebody else. And on Normal People, lady writing for the Irish Times Saturday, last in the review section, said she watched all 12 episodes of Normal People in a row. And if you take the sex scenes out, the rest is only 45 minutes. That's funny. Now, we got an email from Vincent Butler. And Vincent is on the line. How are you doing, Vincent?
I'm doing very well, Ray. How are you?
Good. You're offering our listeners Vincent's Cabinet of Curiosities.
That's it now.
We're very excited. We're very excited. So you work on an expedition cruise ship called the National Geographic Explorer. What do you do on that ship?
Well, essentially, Ray, I work as a lecturer on this five-star ship. It's a small ship, holds 148 guests, so it would be sort of high-end. The cheapest cabin is $2,500 per head
wow.
per day. But then you do get the opportunity to travel with me. it basically cruises the world from the Antarctic up to the Arctic and everywhere in between.
So it's $2,500 a night? For
Yeah, per person sharing.
Wow.
So it's got a high end, but it's a sort of a learning type of cruise. There aren't any casinos. There's no, you know, swimming pools or entertainment shows or whatever.
Okay.
So they come essentially to learn. So I'm one of a group of maybe 12 people who lecture. So we've ornithologists, geologists, soleologists. I do archaeology. I do natural history, geology. Depending where I am, Ray, you know.
Yes. Yeah, the geographic location specifies the ology. Is that it?
Yep. Right. Absolutely.
Right. So the Antarctic, for example, you go down and you'd see loads of penguins. Do they disembark to do the guests?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Every other day we get off, we were trained in driving Zodiacs. So, you know, these inflatable dingies that scuba divers use. So we'll take 10 aboard and we'll tootle off through the ice floes looking for leopard seals or penguins or whatever. So it's a fantastic experience for them. Or, you know, if we're up in more places like, say, the British Isles or Norway or whatever, we'll go ashore, you know, walk around and different places.
How did you end up doing that, Vincent?
Well, basically, I was headhunted. I had been on the Simon Community organised a trek in the Sahara back in 2000 to generate money for the Dumb Simon. And on that, the expedition leader heard me talking about fossils and stuff and said, listen, would you like to work for me as an expedition leader on my company, Trekking the World, and would you like to work on this cruise ship, you know, as a lecturer?
Uh-huh.
So that's what happened. It was kind of a turning point in my life.
And National Geographic, that's National Geographic that we know, the magazine and the TV channel and all that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Yeah, the two companies. The company who owned the cruise ship are called Lindblad Expeditions. They're second-generation Swedes from America. And they twinned up with the National Geographic, or Nat G, as they say.
Okay.
And so it's a fantastic experience for the guests. And also for, obviously, members of staff, I get to really remote areas.
Yeah, and how long would your average guest stay on the National Geographic Explorer?
Well, on average, the trips are about maybe 12 days.
Right.
But some guests can maybe double or treble or quadruple up. They could, you know, one or two guests I've seen, you know, stay on board for maybe a couple of months. So they get, you know, obviously, you know, they're cared for hand to foot. I mean, it's five star. It's, you know, everyone's very attentive to them. The bar, everything, it's all inclusive. So there's no hidden sort of costs. We then lecture them in the evening as they sip their cocktails in the lounge. You know, as I sip a single malt from the top shelf. So yeah, it's all very good.
Oh, what sort of people are we talking about? Obviously, very rich people, firstly.
Well, yeah, to be well healed, mostly North Americans, by far wonderful people, you know, they're very much into travel, and you know, they're very well educated, very well read, so they're very enthused by the whole thing, and they're very active.
And is there a questions and answers at the end of it? They'd ask you questions then about.
Oh, of course, Yeah, you're standing up there in the center. There's what you call, so like a circular area, a little pod. So you give your presentation. We do recaps then in the evening.
Right.
So you know, as they come up for their canapes and their cocktails before they go down to dine, you know, we'll recap for maybe 5-10 minutes on different subjects that we've seen. So for instance, Ray, if I'm out and I find maybe a fossil or a bone, I'm an osteoarchaeologist by training. I worked with Pat Wallace in the Natural Museum
yes.
at the Woodkey excavations. So, you know, if I find a bone, maybe it could be a butchered bone or whatever, or, you know, I will maybe elaborate on that on the ship, or someone will be talking about the pilot sea snail or, you know, the life cycle of a storm petrel or whatever.
Yeah, brilliant. How long have you been doing it?
I've been doing this now for about 20 years.
20?
Yeah, 20 years on off. Yeah, about 20 years now of travel. So I've travelled.
And do you have family? Do you have family, Vincent?
I have a darling wife who's sitting out in my backyard listening to this.
Hiya.
Lindy, yeah, she's out there. She's a fellow Kildare woman.
Lindy,
we're
is
down
it?
Here in Newbridge. Lindy, yeah.
Lindy. And how long are you off at, you know, at a time?
Well, I come and I go. So I could be on for maybe just for one trip, maybe, you know, 2 weeks, or it could be away for maybe 2 or 3 months. It depends, you know, on what way the scheduling, you know, falls.
Right. So you're offering our listeners Vincent's Cabinet of Curiosities. So in these 20 years, going here, there and everywhere to remote parts of the world that we could only, most of us could only dream of going to, you have accumulated a lot of what?
Yeah, I'm an avid collector, Ray. Since I was 10 years old, I've been interested in fossils and bones and rocks and everything else. So over the years, I've amassed a huge collection of natural history items and so on. And of course, the travel on the ship has been a major platform. I mean, you know, you come across markets and dealers, and you know, you're trekking all over the place, so you pick up stuff. So I have what I've done is I thought of the idea. Well, in this COVID crisis, there's an awful lot of parents probably tearing their hair out at the moment with kids, you know, at home. So I was looking for something, you know, positive that I could contribute, you know, to the whole system.
Yes.
And I came up with this idea of the Cabinet of Curiosities. So I take 5 or 6 items every day. I write a blog on them, and it's up there now. So parents and kids can tap in. So there'll be fossils, there's bits of dinosaurs, meteorites, butchered bones, coins, you name it.
And would you not do it on video?
Well, I will. I thought I'd float this out, and no pun intended, and see how it goes, you know.
Right. And if there's a demand, you might upgrade to video.
Oh, absolutely. Of course, yeah. Of course.
Okay. So vincentbutlerheritage.geography.ie will get you. Is that it?
Oh, absolutely. That will tap straight into it.
So give us an example then of something you've blogged about over the last couple of days.
Okay, so I have each day, Ray, is themed. So I had one there 2 days. Well, I have 4 of them up, so you can tap straight in. Then I load one up now every day for the next 14 days.
Right.
So I have one there called Frozen in Time. And there's a selection of fossils there, including a section of an iguanodon's caudal vertebrae. The caudal vertebrae is from the tail. It's about 180 million years old, and I came across it
The iguanodon.
The iguanodon. The iguanodon. Yeah. The iguanodon.
How do you spell
fossil.
That?
It's I-G-U-A-N-O-D-O-N, iguanodon.
Right.
It gets the name actually from, have you heard of the iguanas?
Yeah, iguanas.
It's a similarity in the shape or morphology of their teeth.
Okay.
It was one of the very first fossils to actually be identified as a dinosaur.
How big is an iguanodon?
So, the iguanodon would have been maybe about 15 meters high. I mean, they're large, and you know, they weighed many, many tons.
Right.
They're amazing, amazing creatures, and they seem to have essentially, we're about 4.5 ton in weight. They seem to have hung around in herds, and you know, they're about 30 foot in height. So They find places in Belgium, for instance, you found like whole graveyards of these.
Right, and were they carnivores or herbivores?
No, they were actually herbivores.
Right,
yeah,
okay.
They were herbivores.
So we would have been safe enough around them.
Well, unless they trotted you, I suppose.
Yeah. Sorry.
And then, of course, I've got the oldest and the youngest items in my entire collection. The oldest is a meteorite, which is dated to about 4.5 billion years old.
Right.
And the earliest rock, the youngest rock rod I have, is a sample I got in Iceland 10 years ago when, remember that major volcano kicked off that ground all the plains? So technically, that rock is only 10 years old.
Uh-huh.
So I have material from 4.5 billion down to 10 years.
Should I ask this question? Are you allowed to take these things from where you visit?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Most of my stuff would come from quarries which are being commercially ground
anyway.
Yes, so I'd never touch a designated, area of scientific importance or UNESCO World Heritage Site or whatever.
So you have me. I'd never heard of an iguanodon.
There you go.
Yeah, an iguanodon and then that 10-year-old rock. Brilliant. I think you should be doing it on video, Vincent. But anyway, for the moment, people can go on to your blog, vincentbutlerheritage.geography.ie.
That's it.
What's your favourite curiosity that you have?
Well, do you know what, Dre? Interestingly, the most valuable thing I have is my very first fossil, which I found in 1959 when I was 10. That's 50 years ago. And a Christian brother gave it to me. He was a principal of the school I was in. And I was just enraptured by the thing and have been collecting ever since.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's a fossil of what?
It's a fossil of a gastropod, a single-shelled seashell from the Carboniferous period, 340 million years old. The bulk of the rock in Ireland is about 6% of the country.
Okay.
Is underlain with limestone.
And does Lindy share your fascination with fossils?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Right. Lindy is an interior designer, very artistic. So our house is like a museum. So she loves collecting with me, thankfully.
Great. Well, listen, Vincent, we'll talk again, I'm sure. Thanks so much for dropping us the email and good luck with the blog and let us know when you update to a vlog.
Yeah, thanks so much. Could I just say one more thing before you go?
Of course.
2 years ago, I wrote a book called 60 Photographs for Simon.
Yeah.
These are 60 photographs from my travels worldwide from 25 different countries, each from the Arctic to the Antarctic. Each has an information panel on it. Hardback, it's a coffee table book. It's available from Irish Academic Press, €20 each, and every cent I'm donating to the Simon community.
Brilliant. 60 photographs for Simon, and Vincent Butler is the author, editor, compiler, the whole lot.
Absolutely, and it's from, you'll get it online from Irish Academic Press.
Great.
I've generated €53,000 so far.
Well done.
Great
talking to you, Vincent.
So
mind yourself.
You
mind yourself. Bye. 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 Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
No sourdough, she said. No, I've enjoyed the chats about sourdough. 51551, ray@rte.ie. Your suggestions for holidaying in Ireland for those uninitiated people. Y'all, Old Town, great beaches, history, good pubs and restaurant, lovely boardwalk. Ballycotton and East Cork, hidden gem. Fab natives, gorgeous pubs, lovely place to eat, fantastic music and gigs, great place to swim, miles of beaches nearby, amazing cliff walks, stunning lighthouse. And then there's that ship, isn't there, as well, the Alta, is that what it's called? We have great people, including ex-lighthouse keeper, guiding tours on lighthouses, a genuine magical trip. We have work in harbour and boat to take you deep sea fishing or bay fishing. Famous lifeboat, Mary Stanford, is that the name of the lifeboat? Current, very skilled, very busy, wonderful lifeboat crew. Gorgeous village. That's Claire there. She's obviously a member of the Ballycotton Tourist Association. There's a wonderful staycation is to the lovely Derry Nan Hotel in County Kerry. Great for walking nearby and all water sports. I once saw you sunbathing in the park in Dunmore. Well, I don't know if I was sunbathing. Dunmore East opposite the Haven Hotel. Was going to say hello, but didn't want to disturb you, says Frankie in Waterford. Well, come over and say hello the next time. Duncannon, County Wexford. It's a lovely beach there. And for the past 45 years, we've gone down to the mobile home behind the Mace in Prosperous for the summer holidays. Idyllic, says Paul. There you go. Holidays 2020, Burris in County Carlow, mountains, river walks, half an hour from medieval city of Kilkenny. Gorgeous, says Miriam. And Ray LaHinch, Ballyvaughan, Clare, Wexford, two great counties for holiday from Carmel in Drimna in Dublin. And there's loads more coming in and we'll get to all of those. Now, one of the things that has struck me over the last 2 months or so is the standard of writing. We've had loads of emails in since the pandemic started. People are at home and they're being creative. And we've spoken to a number of people, and even one lady last week, her name will come to you in a moment. She's an English psychologist who's written about boredom. She reckons that this could be a moment in history when we as a race are the most creative than we've ever, are more creative than we've ever been. And it got me thinking, it got us thinking, why don't we have some sort of writing competition? And you know the story, everybody has a book in them. And then we thought about maybe autobiographies. And then we can't ask people to write a full book. That's not going to happen. I know they've time in their hands and they're creative, but they're not going to write a full book. So then we thought, why not ask people to write a page from an imaginary autobiography? And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. We're going to ask you to write a page from your life. And I know this to be a fact. There are loads of aspiring writers out there. People who have put pen to paper or fingers to keyboards hundreds of times, but never just went with it. And writing a book is a big ask. It's a huge ask. And only a tiny percentage of people in the world get to write a book. But writing 500 pages from an imaginary autobiography, that's probably doable. So that's what we're going to do. And we've rounded up some of Ireland's best known writers to help us with this, to judge it. So Owen Colfer is going to help us out. Donal Ryan is going to help us out. Emily Pine is going to help us out. And so too is Emer MacLysett, who's on the line. How are you doing, Emer?
Afternoon, Ray. How are you?
Good to talk to you. That's sort of what they call a soft launch, Emer. Yeah. It's not a big fanfare type thing. It's just talking people through it.
Lovely and gentle.
Lovely and gentle. Thanks so much for helping us out with this. The other people who are helping us out are Easons. They're going to offer up the cash prize at the end of it. We'll tell you more about that as the week goes on. But they just want to say that even though we can't all be together at the moment, you can find the things you love and plenty of ways to stay connected on Easons.com, where they've got everything from books and stationery to games and jigsaws and a whole lot more for you. So, the Ashlings, are you, yourself and Sarah, working away on book number three?
Well, we had book number three out last year, so
sorry,
book number four will
book
be our next.
Is there three?
Flying through them. We're actually working on the screenplay of the very first book at the moment. That's kind of taken up all of our attention. And then we'll start book four later on in the year. But
and who are you working with on that? Who are you working with on that?
Oh, with Element Pictures, who are talk of the town now at the moment with Normal People.
Oh, right. They did Normal People, did they?
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So no pressure. No pressure.
So,
no pressure.
So you're working on an adaptation of one of the best-selling Irish book with Element, and they've an adaptation of a best-selling Irish book.
Yeah, they've just done an adaptation that a lot of people are calling the greatest ever adaptation of book to film. So again, no pressure.
Will you be looking for Paul Mescal to star in The Complete Ashlings?
You'd be mad not to, wouldn't you?
Yeah. What about his necklace, Emer?
Yeah, okay, we'll write it as a character of its own, definitely.
Yeah. Or else when he wears the necklace he has superpowers.
Oh my god, stop, don't get me started.
So I take it you've watched it, have you, Normal People?
Oh god, I've watched all 12 episodes.
Right.
Yeah. It's just gorgeous. I think the next two episodes, 3 and 4, are on RTÉ1 tonight, so people who are kind of pacing themselves to have a real treat coming tonight.
They're excited. Of course, Normal People and the series of Aisling books are completely different.
They're a good bit different, but there are some similarities. I mean, Aisling is kind of a bit of a culty who finds their way up to Dublin, and is Connell in Normal People. I mean, the worlds are different, and Aisling obviously doesn't find herself in Trinity, but she finds herself with a couple of similar like-minded people and a couple of people who wear outfits she can't get her head around and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, there's a few similarities.
But, you know, there'll be laughs in it, more laughs in your adaptation than there will be in Normal People.
Yeah, it would be more of a comedy now. I'd say Normal People is, you know, a solid drama.
Yes,
ours will be more of a, or as I saw somebody referring to some of the more popular TV shows recently, a sadcom. So it's comedy, but there's also a little bit of sad, which I think is what everyone loves.
Oh, a sadcom, yeah. But there was a great tradition of those on Sunday night. Remember Ballycasangel and what was the other one? The Monarch of the Glen.
Margaret McGlenn, yeah. Yes. The likes of Fleabag and Game Face and those kind of shows that have been really successful recently are really good comedies, but with a really kind of backbone of grief or hurt.
Yes, with
or
a big heart. I suppose Afterlife by Ricky Gervais as well.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what you're going for?
That's what we're going. Well, yeah, maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
Okay. Right. Now, you're going to judge this. It's a page from my life. We're asking people to write 500 words. How doable is this? What do you think when you heard about it? What do you think?
First of all, I'm so excited to read as many of the entries as possible. Like, I think it's going to be absolutely fascinating. 500 words is extremely doable. I write a 1,000-word newspaper column each week, and if I can do that, you guys can do anything. But I mean, 500 words really is nothing. And actually, I would say when people sit down to start writing, they'll wish they had more words because they'll probably find they have so much to say. But the brevity of it and the fact that it's only 500 means you have to pick something really specific and just go for it. And I think it's such a great idea.
And I suppose you'd be pointing people towards pivotal moments in their lives.
You would. I mean, that's definitely one avenue to go down. Might be something really big that happened to you, a big life event, a big holiday, maybe a big loss. It's not always going to be something celebratory. But I also think that there's a lot of beauty in detail. And with 500 words, you could pick something absolutely tiny from your life and just turn that into a beautiful few paragraphs. Yeah. You really could.
What would you write about if
I
you
was
were
thinking
entering?
About this
No, you can't
earlier,
enter because you're a judge.
I'm not going to enter. But I was like, something that popped up. I suppose a lot of people will probably think of their childhood when they're thinking of, because if you were to start an autobiography, you'd probably start with childhood. So they might be thinking of that first of all. And I was thinking of my childhood and how I feel like I was bitten by a mouse a disproportionately large number of times as a child.
You were bitten by a mouse?
I was bitten by mice several times throughout my childhood for various reasons. So I was like, I could probably knock 500 words out of that.
You'll have to explain that now.
Well, I grew up in the countryside, so spent a lot of time jumping on hay bales
barns. Yes.
So that was one source of mouse bites. We always had cats, and the cats were always terrorizing mice. And my bleeding heart was always trying to save the mice from the cats, and therefore I would get bitten by the mouse, and then that would be the end of that. And just a lot of stuff like that, just trying to save pygmy shrews from, you know, under a rock, or just being too kind, really.
Yes, and they repaid your kindness with biting you.
By biting me and then probably sneaking away to die. Yes. So it was all a complete waste of time. But like something like that, or something like, you know, what was the greatest gift you've ever received in your life? What was a piece of clothing that you remember very clearly? What's a food that you have a very strong memory of? Something like, it can be anything.
And do you think, because this isn't, you know, this isn't a short story. This is...
No.
And I suppose people would have to imagine that it is part of a book. So you don't have to explain everything.
No, and you don't really need a beginning, middle and an end, because if you're imagining that it's just a page out of a book, then you're just being dropped into it. And the beauty of it is that you can start from anywhere. You don't need to start with, I was born in X, or, you know, I suppose I better explain who all these characters are. We want somebody who's going to be able to give us a piece of writing where we really want to know what happened before and we really want to know what happened afterwards, but we don't know.
Uh-huh. Yes, so get your curiosity going.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And leaving us wanting more, that's what we want, yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, so 500 words, a page from my life, and the been bitten by mice has been taken by Emer McLeish already, so you'll have to dream up something else.
I mean, I can't believe publishers aren't banging on my door already to get this stunning autobiography about mice.
And do you think there are, like, I think I know there are people out there who want to write, and what's the main barrier between people wanting to write and writing?
I think sometimes the length and breadth of a writing project can really put people off, which is why 500 words is really ideal. I think I'm a chronic procrastinator, so I will put something off until the last minute, and I write for a living. So, you know, I really have to do the work. I think it's kind of a fear that they won't have enough to put into a story, or a fear that they won't be able to write a book that's as good as the ones they've loved throughout their lives. But once you just start, and I think with the beauty of the 500 words is that you can listen to this today and go, God, I'd love to write something about that. All you have to do is go away and write 2 sentences and you've started, and that's probably 40 words, and then you're away. And like, you're not this isn't homework. Nobody's paying you to do it unless you win the prize. You know, there's nobody breathing down your neck. It's something you're going to get to do just for the beauty of it. Yes. And you never know, it could lead to you writing another 500 words, 10,000, you know, all that kind of thing.
And we're giving you the full month of May to do it. The full month of May to do it.
Yeah, that's loads of time. But I would advise if people do want to get involved, do start today. Like, even if it's just write down 3 words that you might like to do your 500 words about, because putting it off, you'll just put it off. It'll hang over you. You'll feel like it's homework. It's Sunday night. Glenroe music is playing. Everything's happening. So do it for the joy of it.
Okay. And we'll be talking to you again before the end of the month, Emer MacLeisett. And thanks so much. Go back to working on the TV adaptation. What a complete Aisling.
The greatest adaptation of a book that's ever gone to.
Thanks, Emer. See you.
Bye.
And also thanks to Easton's as well for helping us out on this. And they say, even though we can't be together at the moment, you can find the things you love and plenty of ways to stay connected on Easton's.com, where they've got everything from books and stationery to games and jigsaws and a whole lot more for you.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So that's a page from my life. I doubt that anybody's going to write 500 words overnight, but if you do, ray@rte.ie, and we'll have another one of our judges on tomorrow to give you tips, and we'll have one on every day this week. Good afternoon, Connor Pope.
Hiya, Ray. How are you getting on?
Good. Holidays, flights, vouchers and refunds, your questions answered.
That's right, yeah. I have to say, I have never seen the volume of queries about than I have in recent weeks about travel and about vouchers and about refunds. I'm just being inundated with queries and questions, and it's clear it's a really pressing issue for tens of thousands of people across Ireland.
Okay. So will you just give us the top line? Because we can't answer. We've had so many questions in, Connor. We can't answer them all. But no international travel till when? Do we know?
Well, we don't know for sure. What we know for sure, and you outlined it at the top of the programme, which is July the 20th is the day when people will be able to leave their region in Ireland and travel around the country. And I know you thought, you said, OK, there might be a lot of deals because the Americans won't be travelling to the Republic of Ireland. So as a result, there might be lots of occupancy. But the phased easing of the lockdown makes it clear that it'll be a reduced occupancy that hotels will be able to offer. So I'm not sure if we will see massive bargains, but what you will see is a lot of people looking to go on holidays in Ireland from July the 20th. Now, a lot of people have been holding out hope that they might be able to go on their foreign holiday that they booked and paid for a long time ago. They might have been holding out hope for August or even for the late July. Leo Varadkar on Thursday told the Dáil he was hopeful that there might be some flights leaving Ireland by August. So that was kind of a blow for people who were hoping to go on a foreign holiday in the summertime. And it got worse at the weekend when the Minister for Health, Simon Harris, said he didn't think there would be any foreign holidays in Ireland from Ireland this year. Because a lot of countries, like here, are imposing this 14-day period of quarantine when you come into a country. So if you've got a two-week holiday booked somewhere lovely, there's absolutely no point in travelling there and spending 14 days locked in your hotel room. So I think it might be close to the time that we just have to, as you said at the start of the programme, forget about 2020 when it comes to overseas holidays, and to put whatever energies and whatever finance we have towards supporting Irish businesses for the rest of the year, when we're allowed to do that.
Now, and this has been ongoing. We've spoken to you about this about 4 or 5 times over the last 2 months. And I said that at the beginning of this, and you said in your article today, that if a flight is cancelled 2 months ago, you are entitled to your money back. But that's things have been fudged, haven't they?
Completely. And they've been fudged both by the airlines, and I'm not just talking about Irish Airlines, Aer Lingus and Ryanair, I'm talking about virtually every airline in the world. Airlines have been racing to issue vouchers or just gone to ground entirely and not communicating with their passengers. Now, the law hasn't changed. Under the law, under EU 261, any flight into or out of an Irish airport, if it's cancelled, you're entitled to a rebooking, a rerouting or a refund. And the rerouting option doesn't exist because there's no flight anywhere. The rebooking option should still be there, and so should the refund. And under the law,
are you you're breaking up there? Are you moving around? You're back there. Go on.
I hold the phone more steadily. Under the law, you're entitled to a refund.
I tell you what. We'll try and get a better line there. I've another commercial break to take before the Nocht
No, we don't, do we not? No. Okay, so we'll see if we can get him back, or if not, I'll just read out suggestions of where to holiday in Ireland. Hello, Connor. No, we'll see if we can get him back there. Loads of questions in. And we'll put them to Connor if he comes back. Meanwhile, Donegal, Downings, Mulroy Drive, Port Salon and many, many more. Pure magic. That's the county of Donegal. We had a great holiday in Drummond in County Leitrim. Visited Arignea coal mine. That's a great visit, actually. Strokestown House in Strokestown, Lockheed Forest Park. That's a great visit. Kayaking near Drummond, Carrigan Shannon for some shopping. A great week had by all. All these attractions were nearby and the scenery was fabulous. Only downside was the drive home to Cork. Regards, Elaine. Well, driving home to, you know, anywhere after a holiday is always a downer. Achill Island, the longest coastline on the Wild Atlantic Way. If you like the outdoor, nowhere like it. The oldest tourist destination in the country. Regards, that's Patricia, the Beehive Keel, Achill Island. And on Vinnie there, Vinnie Butler. Vinnie is a fantastic tour guide. He looked after guests for me last summer off a cruise and also trained my dad as a tour guide a few years ago. He has so much knowledge and a great personality for telling his stories. Warm regards to Vinnie from Kim and John Hogan. And we think we have Connor back there. How are you doing, Connor?
Hello? Hi, Ray. Sorry about that.
There you
go. I don't know what happened.
That's way better there. That's way better there.
There, I'm back.
Okay. So we're running out of time. So for people, should people accept vouchers from their airlines?
The bottom line is, if you can afford to accept the voucher, you can accept the voucher and look forward to your holiday or whenever that might be it later this year or next year. But I think the airlines shouldn't be given a pass on this. And we shouldn't be asked to bail out the airlines. So if you can't afford to accept the voucher, you need to keep fighting the good fight. You need to keep standing up to the airlines because it's simply not good enough for them to change the law retrospectively and impose conditions on people that didn't exist when they took out the bookings. So that's the first thing. And when it comes to tour operators and package deals with travel agents and campsites and whatever it might be, again, the same thing applies. If you can afford to take the voucher and look forward to holidays that will happen in the future. But again, those companies have a legal responsibility, and I would argue a moral responsibility, to ensure that the people who can't afford to accept vouchers.
But how's that going to work? And I understand what you're saying, that if you've lost your job, that getting a voucher for something that's going to happen in 2021 when you actually need and deserve a holiday in 2020 in Ireland, and you could do with the cash to go on that holiday.
Yeah.
But how is that going to work?
Well, listen, it's worked for the banks. And I mean, look, the model that's been employed with the banks and mortgage breaks and mortgage holidays has been that if you can show that you've been directly impacted by COVID-19, then you are given a relatively hassle-free break of three months, perhaps six months.
But, Connor, the banks have systems in place to do that sort of thing. They've been doing it for years.
These airlines, these tour operators, they're multinational, multi-billion euro companies. And if there isn't the systems in place to deal with that now, they need to put those systems in place. It's not rocket science. If you could just have a form on your website that showed that somebody could say, I have been directly impacted by the crisis and I would like the money back, then people like me, who luckily haven't been directly impacted by the crisis, could say, listen, I'll take the voucher, but give the money back to person X or person Y. I think that's important. And I think we need to be working together as a society to try and resolve this problem, because it isn't easy, but nor is it impossible to fix the problem.
And is there anything to be said for, if we want an aviation industry at the other side of this, that we have to play ball with them and take vouchers?
Well, listen, that's what I'm saying, that I'm happy to take the voucher. You might be happy to take the voucher. But the next person who might have lost their job, or a couple might both have lost their jobs, they can't take the voucher. So, as I say, we need to protect the aviation sector for sure. We need to ensure that there is a functioning airline industry after this crisis abates. But we also need to protect individuals, and we can't expect everybody to play exactly the same game.
Yes, okay.
So it's not going to be a one-size-fits-all approach to everybody. And I think the airlines need to show a little bit of imagination and a little bit of flexibility. But the key thing here, Ray, is they need to communicate with their passengers. They can't just all go to ground and ignore the emails and ignore the correspondence, or have these artificial intelligence chatbots talking to people via social media. That's not good enough. This is a crisis, and there are people out there who desperately need help, and there are other people out there who can say, listen, I can take a bit of time, I'll park it, and I look forward to my holiday in 2021.
So they need to process claims case by case. Now, just we're running out of time here. Just on Ticketmaster and cancelled gigs, What's the situation there?
Yeah, this is a big, big thing. And I've been getting an awful lot of correspondence from readers of the Irish Times about this. Now, again, in the normal course of events, if a concert is cancelled, you get your money back. End of story. And that is the case here. If a concert is cancelled in the months ahead, you're getting your money back and Ticketmaster are processing that. But in the normal course of events, if a concert is rescheduled, you have a window of opportunity in which you can apply to Ticketmaster and say, you know what, that new date doesn't suit me. And then you get your money back. Uh-huh. Now, I've put that question directly to Ticketmaster. And I've said, do the same rules still apply now? So if I was due to go to a concert in May and that concert has now been pushed back to June 2021 and that doesn't suit me, can I get a refund? And Ticketmaster haven't been upfront. They haven't told me what the answer to that question is. They haven't told me what they're planning to do to people if the concerts are rescheduled to a time that doesn't suit them. And nor have they told many of the customers who've contacted us. Mm. So people don't know what's happening. And it does seem that the normal rules that have applied for donkey's years are not being applied in this instance. And that, to me, doesn't seem
right. The other thing with festivals, it's not going to be the same lineup. So it's a ticket for a different event, really.
Not. Yeah. Well, absolutely. And, you know, if you bought a ticket for a festival that was due to take place in September and they're now saying, oh, it'll take place next September and you'll have a ticket for that. Some people, it just mightn't suit them. Yeah, they mightn't be in the country.
Or they may not like the headlining act. They might have bought it because it was
Petrified. Well, funnily, the one thing about the Electric Picnic that I always think...
He's gone.
Before they announce the acts.
They're sold
out.
So
you don't really know that anyway.
Okay, right. Connor, we'll talk to you again soon. Mind yourself.
Okay, take care.
That's Connor Pope
there,
and you can read his article online there. Holidays, flights, vouchers and refunds, and he answers all the questions, some of the ones that we didn't get to there. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Just to get to a few of the texts and emails we didn't get to in the first hour. Clane from Virginia, just wanted to let you know that after your show on Thursday, I made a Facebook post asking for donations for Laura Lynn. We've raised $180. Thanks for inspiring me. And I must get around to thanking everybody who donated to Laura Lynn on the back of our press-up challenge for the month of April. I'll do that tomorrow. And on holiday in Ireland, we went to Connemara last year. We stayed about 20 minutes from Clifton near a little secluded stony beach. We were there 5 days and had an adventure every day. We took the ferry to Inishbofin, drove into Galway, visited Kylemore Abbey, which was wonderful, visited Connemara National Park and many little coastal villages and beaches. Simply fab, says Newlyn from Donegal. And listen to your piece on Connell's chain from Normal People and wanted to send on a young Irish company, two brothers from County Kildare, who've developed and designed their own men's jewellery. So it's commonlines.com. They have noticed an increase in sales over the last week. It must be the Connell effect. Would be great to give them a shout out. So that's commonlines.com. And it's not a necklace of somebody, it's a chain. What's the difference between a chain and a necklace? I don't know. And I just tuned in and heard you mention holidays in Burris County, Carlow. There are two amazing places to stay down there. Loram, an old rectory run by the Smiths, and the Step House in the village. I can recommend both from personal experiences. Donald from Dublin. And the longest coastline, the highest mountains, the deepest lakes, the most blue flag beach, the dark skies, the largest national park, plus the best hotels and lovely people are all in... Kerry. Yes, you're right, Kerry. Beat that, says Pat from Portlaoise. And all this voucher for 2021 is exactly the same with loads of concerts and gigs. Not good enough. Refund the tickets. Yeah, it's you know, what we're saying are uncharted, unprecedented, and companies are sort of fighting for their survival. And they're trying to work out a way that keeps everybody happy and ensures their survival at the other side of this. And it's difficult. It's difficult. 51551 ray@rte.ie. Yay! Very exciting. It's semi-final and final week on the All-Ireland Quiz, ladies and gentlemen. We started off with 32 counties, but just four remain. Semi-final number one today, semi-final number two tomorrow. We'll take a break on Thursday, and then on Friday, the All-Ireland Quiz Grand Final. We'll have a champion. We'll have a champion at 4:30 on Friday. Yes, they'll have the trophy and we'll have a photographer here, social distancing together. They'll have their picture in the local paper. It'll be very exciting, very exciting. Today, Semi-final number one, and it's Antrim v Longford, and we say good afternoon to Fiona Gribben. How are you doing, Fiona?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Not too bad. Good to talk to you. Still not getting married?
Still not getting married. Not yet.
That's very mean of me, isn't it? Yeah. So it's December now.
It is December. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
I think there's nothing else for it after watching the Taoiseach on Late Late Show on Friday. I think we sort of realised, you know, there really was no sort of possibility of having a wedding in July.
Yes.
So no one happy to get down the road till December.
Okay. Yourself and Connor.
Yes.
Now, this is your fourth time on, so people must know. People all over the world, do they?
Yes, the cat's out the bag. So I have family listening in England and Waterford and Seattle and Washington and then Belfast and, of course, Dunloy, North Antrim. So yeah. No pressure.
And remind us what you do for a living.
I'm an accountant.
Right. And you're working from home, but today you're in work, are you?
Yes, I'm in work today, just doing a bit of processing.
Yes, and to get to a landline. Yeah, that's a lovely phone line you have there from your workplace. Right, good luck with this. You're up against Brian Kennedy from Longford. Brian, say hello to Fiona.
Afternoon, Ray. Good afternoon, Fiona. How are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good, and yourself? Best of luck.
Thank you, you too.
So representing Longford, you're from outside Ballymahon, is it?
Yeah, well, just outside, I'm teaching in Ballymahon, Ray, just living outside Longford town, out of the country, yeah.
Right. You have four children, 9, 7, 5 and 2.
That's right.
Primary school teacher, so definitely no school this side of the summer.
No, they announced it on Friday, Ray. Unfortunately, we're not going to be back. Hopefully, we'll get back in September, all going well. I'm sure there's a lot of kids disappointed they won't get to finish their classes for this year. But,
yeah. Look,
health and safety is number one, I suppose.
Is it a big thing now for sixth class? Is there graduations and all sorts of things?
Yeah, we were just discussing that earlier, what way we're going to go about finishing it, whether it'll be through Zoom or whether the children come back in a new school year, maybe when things are safer, that they can meet up with social distancing. We don't know yet, I suppose. We're just planning that at the minute to see what way we're going to do it, Ray.
And would your sixth class, would they be going here, there and everywhere to different secondary schools?
In Ballymahon, yeah, they'd be going to one of two schools, the convent or the vocational school.
Oh, so, right, yeah, right.
It'd be nearly 60-40 split between the two schools.
Okay. So they may not see, you know, if you don't have some sort of ado the other side of the summer, they may not see their friends.
Yeah, that's true. We'll definitely do something, Ray, whether it be virtual or actual face-to-face, we'll definitely be doing something for them.
Okay. Don't you know somebody has listened to this and somebody has planned something already and then they'll do it and everybody will follow suit. That's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of discussion in the IPPN Principal Forum at the minute with different principals. There's nothing set in stone yet.
Right.
There is plans in place.
Okay, rightio. Okay, you've both chosen a sort of motivational song again. Different one. Fiona, this is your choice. Here we go. Why that one in particular?
Just for a moment, Ray. I thought it was a nice summer reaching.
Yeah.
The weather's getting better.
It's nice, yeah, it's nice. And your choice, Brian? Fiona, that's a confident message from him. He wants to be in the Hall of Fame where everybody knows his name. Right, we're in the semi-finals, so I'm going to have to ask you to answer me as quickly as you can. We've had some reports from people on text. They were suspicious that some people may have been using Dr. Google or Mr. Google, whatever you want to call them. So if we could have your cooperation, it would be great. Fiona,
yep.
And Brian, answers as quick as possible. Good luck to you both. Whoever wins today is into the final of the All-Ireland Quiz. Let's get some tension going.
Good luck, Fiona.
You too.
Right, Fiona, you're up first. And your first question is this. In which century did the English Civil War take place? The 17th, the 18th, or the 19th?
The 17th, Ray.
Is the correct answer, 1642 to 1651. A similar question for you, Brian. In which century did the American Civil War take place? 18th, 19th, or 20th?
19th.
Yeah, 1861 to 1865 is correct. Okay. Question number two, Fiona, is an audio question. Can you name this animated movie?
I probably sucked more today than anyone in the history of Kung Fu, in the history of China, in the history of sucking.
Probably.
And the five. Man, you should have seen them. They totally hate me.
Well.
Is that Kung Fu Panda?
It is Kung Fu Panda. Well done. And for you, Brian, can you name this animated movie?
Good afternoon. My name is Russell, and I am a wilderness explorer in Tribe 54.
Need Thank you, but I don't need any help.
Up.
Up, up, up is correct. Yes. That's a lovely movie. Right, two all. Question number three for you, Fiona. We're in the first semi-final of the All-Ireland Quiz. In foods such as peppers, what does a Scoville unit measure? Sweetness, heat, or saltiness? Scoville.
I'll go sweetness, Ray.
It's not. It's heat. The Scoville scale is a measurement of the pungency or heat of chili peppers. Okay. An opportunity, Brian, for you to go in front.
Okay.
Which of these is not an ingredient of traditional eggs Florentine? Bacon, spinach, or hollandaise?
Bacon.
Is the correct answer. All right. You'd get bacon in eggs Benedict, but not in eggs Florentine. Okay, yep. Fiona, you're on two. Brian's on three. We have another audio question for you. Can you name the Irish band who had a hit with this in the 90s? Here we go.
Take your parachute and go. Take a maybe come back tomorrow. Take your parachute, I am. Take the start you ever get in sorrow.
Who's that?
No, right, I took a complete blank.
No idea.
I don't know. No idea.
Yeah, it's a different generation, I suppose. You're probably too young to know. That something happens. All not lost, because you can still go for the three-pointer. Brian, your audio question, can you name this Irish band from the 90s as well?
Celebrate, this party's over, I'm going home. Celebrate.
Say again.
Emotional Fish.
Yes, is the correct answer, with Jerry Fish and lead vocals. Okay, now Fiona, you've sort of no choice really. You have to go for the three-pointer. If you go for it, you'll be on five. Brian will be on four, but it would have a question in hand. If he goes for the one-pointer, then we could be in a tie-break situation if he gets it right. Or else, at least you'll put him under pressure to go for the three-pointer if he wants to win it outright. That's if you get the three-pointer correct. So I take it you're going to go for the three-pointer, Fiona?
Yes, I am, Ray.
Good luck with this. And listen, well done on getting this far in the All-Ireland Quiz. Right, here we go. For 3 points, to bring you up to five. Which of these European Union member states has the biggest population? Greece, Romania, Sweden, or Poland? So which country has the biggest population? Greece, Romania, Sweden, or Poland? Need an answer from you.
I'll guess Poland.
It's the correct answer. 37 million, Greece 10, Romania 19, and Sweden 10. So you're on 5 points. Brian, you're on four. So you have the choice of the one-pointer to bring you up even with Fiona. That forces us into a tie-break situation. Or you can go for the three-pointer to leave us in no doubt as to who's going forward to the final of the All-Ireland Quiz. So what's it going to be?
I'd go for three, Rhett.
You're going to go for the three. Okay, good luck with this. To bring you into the final, if you get it wrong, Fiona goes through.
Okay.
Which of these former US presidents was oldest when taking up office? John F. Kennedy, George H.W. Bush, Richard Nixon, or Gerald Ford?
Gosh. Your guess. We go with George H. Bush.
Gerald Ford was 61. Richard Nixon was 56. JFK was 43. George H.W. Bush, 64. Correct answer. Well done. That was a tough one, but you got it. Fiona. Hi. Hard luck.
Hard luck, Fiona. It was lovely being on, Ray.
Yeah, we've loved your company. And thanks to our friends in Aldi who are working hard keeping all their 142 shops stocked and safe for us all. They'd like to give you €150 Aldi voucher for making it to the semi-finals of our competition.
Oh, thanks very much, Ray. All the best.
And listen, good luck to yourself and Connor when you eventually get married in December.
Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Okay, mind yourself. See you, Fiona. Bye now. Bye. 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 Brian Kennedy, congratulations.
Thanks very much.
Yay, you're into the final.
Yep. Great,
which will happen on Friday. Tune in tomorrow for the second semi-final. Kildare versus Leitrim, I do believe, is it? I think it's Kildare versus Leitrim. I'm not too sure. But yeah, it's Kildare anyway versus Leitrim, I think. So we will talk to you on Friday, Brian. Well done. Congratulations.
Spot on, Ray. Can I just wish my niece, my goddaughter in Galway, Aveen Flaherty, a happy 12th birthday, and we'll see her soon. She was 12 yesterday. Just big shout out to Aveen.
Okay, happy birthday, Aveen. Talk to you on Friday. Thanks, Brian. See you. Good luck.
Bye. Bye. Darcy Bye. Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, Leitrim v Kildare tomorrow in the second semi-final. And we were talking to Emer MacLysett earlier on today. We've launched a writing competition. It's called A Page From My Life. A Page From My Life. So we're asking you to submit what would be a page from your autobiography if you were to write one. And we're giving you a limit of 500 words. And we have Emer MacLysett, Emily Pine, Owen Colfer and Donna Ryan. They're all going to judge for us and we're very thankful to them. And we're going to talk to one of the judges each day this week so they can give you some writing tips. RayRTE.ie and our friends at Easton's are helping us out with that. We should have details exactly of the prize tomorrow or the day after. In relation to the lady on the quiz who was to get married in December now, please let her know, this is Fiona, that it's a great time to get married at Christmas. People are in great form on holidays and hotels look very festive. We got married 30 years ago at Christmas and it was brilliant, says Nicola. Well, somebody else who's planning to get married is Charlene McKenna, and she's also planning to sit down and watch RTE because Pure Mule, after 15 years, is back on RTE2 this Thursday night. Good afternoon, Charlene.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Good to talk to you.
You too. It's good to talk to anybody that's not the cow.
How are those?
I was saying to somebody earlier, when they start talking back, it's time to go.
That's it. So you're up there in rural County Monaghan, surrounded by cows. Is your dad a farmer?
My brother does a wee bit of farming.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So what's your situation up there?
There's a lot of talking to the cows, and I've never cut as many sticks in my life.
You've never what?
I've never cut as many sticks in my life, but the stick shed's looking great.
Is it right? And you're there with your fiancé and your parents.
Yeah. He's here. He's an honorary Irishman now.
Where is he from?
He's from New York.
Right.
He's got his work trousers out a little, and he's officially an Irish labourer.
Right. And you were planning to get married when?
In July. So if anybody has a magic ball and can let me know when we can get married, that'd be great.
Had you got plans made? Had you got a hotel booked or anything?
Oh, the whole wedding's planned, yeah. We were ready to go, pretty much, down to the wire. But now everything's gone belly up.
Yeah.
So don't know what's happening.
And of course, you've been an actor. You would have had to fit the wedding in
between your
schedule, your very busy schedule, yeah.
Yes, it was very tentative, and I very kindly had all the producers of Peaky Blinders working around me, which was amazing because they've a lot bigger stars to work around than me. Everybody was being amazing, and I had loads of actor friends who had put it into their contract that they had to be a witness of, yeah. So
all right.
A bit of upheaval, but nothing in comparison to what people are going through.
Of course,
so,
yes, yeah.
You have only a moment to cry, and then you cop yourself on, you get on with it.
And you go out and talk to the cows.
And you go and
so your fiancé, Adam, what does he do for a living? Is he an actor as well?
He's an actor as well. If anybody watched Ripper Street, he was Captain Homer Jackson. He was the surgeon. He's the American of the three boys.
And did you meet on set?
We did. Back in 2012 now.
All right. And how does that work? Did you share scenes together?
We did, but it ended up not being as many. We shared some in the start, and then the storylines ended up that actually we had less to do together, which is we got more serious. That became good because we'd be givers for corpses.
Right.
Now,
Pure Mule.
I know.
It's hard to believe it's 15 years old, Charlene.
And I haven't aged today. I know. It's amazing. I was telling my friends earlier that it was 2005 and they were like, what? But yeah, 2005, you'll tell by my eyebrows that aren't there anymore. But it was definitely 2005.
Remind people about the plot line and the people and the characters and where it was set and all that.
Remind me. It was an amazing script by Eugene O'Brien. It's set in Offaly, all around Offaly, and it sort of focuses on it. Each episode is a weekend, so it starts on a Friday and it ends on the Sunday, and or the Monday morning. But it's a weekend, and each episode, it's an ensemble of six of us, but each episode focuses on a different character each week, and it's just about the realities, the ups and the downs, the madness and the heartaches and the life of just rural living back in now in 2005.
Yeah.
And Eugene was such beautiful, real, nuanced characters. And it was beautifully shot by Owen McCullough. It was all shot on film, which doesn't happen much anymore. So it's a piece we're all really proud of. And I think I'm excited and nervous for a new maybe generation to see it. I was talking to my niece, Rebecca. Shout out to Rebecca, she's working on the front line. I was talking to her the other day, and she was like, I was like, they're going to put pure music back on. She was like, oh, we were never allowed to watch the great. So there'll be a whole, hopefully, new bit of energy watching it now.
Yeah, yeah. Have you watched it in the intervening years at all?
No, I haven't.
Okay, right.
And
Charlene, that was a big break for you.
It was, yeah. It was my second, technically third, but realistically my second big job after Breakfast on Pluto.
Yeah.
So it was massive, and I was totally green and wet behind the ears going into it. But I knew it was special, but now I look back, I realise how special it was and what a gift it was of a job, because the cast are incredible.
And there'd be similar themes to Normal People. Wouldn't there?
I guess Normal People focuses more on just the two of them, but there's a slightly more coming of age, but it's ours. I guess we've got more every age group. I suppose I'm representing the early 20s part of it, all right. And in that regard, it's similar in the me and Garrett Lombard story is a bit of a love story, and it's about just human, you know.
And you've acted alongside Paul Mescal. In the Gay Theatre.
He was my Mr. Gatsby.
Right.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of hoo-ha about him at the moment, you might have noticed.
There's a wee bit. But I think he's in lockdown in London on his own, so he's probably just... He turns his phone off, is that it? He turns his phone off, he's a superstar.
And did you spot that in him when you saw him? Did you?
I did, because when he was originally cast, I was going, where are they going to cast him, this young lad? You know, Jay Gatsby's meant to be, you know, in his early 30s. He's meant to be world weary. And they cast, you know, to me, I was like, this young guy out of the Lear. I was like, I'm sure he's a good actor, but he's too young. And that all went away after about day one of rehearsals.
You've been placed on hold. Please wait.
We're not having much luck with telephones today. But anyway, we've just run out of time. That was Charlene McKenna. She was on to talk to us about the fact that Pure Mule is back on the telly, RTÉ2, 10:30 on Thursday night. And as she said, a whole new generation can watch it now, because if you were sort of under 15 at the time, you wouldn't have been allowed to watch it. And now you could be 30 with your own children. That's good news. And we'll speak to Charlene again, I am sure. Mary Wilson is on the way. We are back tomorrow. We have the second semi-final of the All-Ireland Quiz and lots more besides. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday and stay safe. Have we got this? Yeah.